This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
All right, I want you to take your Bibles, turn to Joshua, and we're going to look here. I think I told you chapter 15, chapter number 14. Chapter number 14 and verses number 6 and following. We're going to talk about one of the other famous men in the book of Joshua, and his name is Caleb. And Caleb stayed focused on the promised land. While everybody else within the camp, some of them were living in disbelief, some of them were living in discouragement, some of them didn't believe, they were just willing to settle down and live a nomadic life and just be a drifter. Caleb and Joshua, they stayed focused on the promised land. And I guess anything that we can do in 2020, I started a sermon series Wednesday night called 2020 Vision, and we were talking about how we can have a clear picture and see the big panoramic picture that God has for us as a church and to move toward that direction. The best thing that we can do in 2020 is to stay focused on the promised land. Listen, if you'll keep your eyes on heaven and you'll keep your eyes on God, you'll keep yourself out of a whole lot of trouble. Somebody say amen. And so this morning, you're going to find Caleb, one of the great Old Testament characters. He is a man who stayed focused. He is 85 years old at this time in his life, and he is ready to claim the promises of God that God has given him. If you're there in chapter 14, say amen. All right, verse number 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, listen to everybody else. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thou feet hast trodden shall be thy inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast, read this with me, wholly followed the Lord my God. Verse 10, And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am strong this day as I was in the day of Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for to war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in me to me in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and how that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Look at verse number 14. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb unto this day because that he, say it with me, wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. I want you to be seated. We're going to talk about this amazing man of great spiritual character, and I want to make this application to you this morning. I'm wanting you to stay focused on the promised land. Don't get your eyes off of heaven. Keep your eyes on the goal. Don't let the cares of this world cause you to sway to the right or to the left. Stay on task. Fall in love with God. Fall in love with God's people. Find somewhere within the house of God to take your time and your talent and your tithe and invest it in building the kingdom of God. If you will, your days will be better and brighter. If you believe that, say amen. So let's stay focused this morning. Let's pray. Father, I pray in the lovely name of Jesus that you would lead us by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would guide us with the wonderful wisdom that's found in the pages of the Word of God, Lord, that you would help us to understand what you have called us to be and what you want us to do. So, Father, give us 2020 vision. Give us a spiritual insight. Help us, Lord, to stay focused on the task, our eyes on heaven, as we are moving forward within the power of God, Lord, investing in lives and changing lives one verse at a time with the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. Lord, we bless your holy name today. We thank you for Jesus. Help us to brag on him for a little while today, and we will thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people can say, amen. Now, how many of you understand this? It is important for you to stay focused, whether it's on the job, whether it's in your marriage, in the ministry. It's important for you, if you're going to do anything and accomplish anything and you're going to reach your goals, you've got to stay focused. If you don't stay focused, you can find yourself in a whole lot of trouble very, very quickly. Well, that reminds me of the story that I'm going to share with you about a young preacher. This young preacher was preaching his very first sermon, and he was so excited, and he's studying all week long, but he just couldn't get his introduction together. He was having a problem trying to introduce the thought, and so he wanted to shock and awe the audience. He really wanted to come up with something that was just going to be a stinger, that when he said it, that everybody would pay attention and he would preach his sermon. But he was struggling, so he called this old seasoned preacher, and he said, "Preacher, I'm struggling with my introduction. Can you help me with my sermon? And I want a definite way to introduce my sermon that guarantees that I'm going to get everybody's attention." Well, the old preacher said, "Yes, I've got a guaranteed way that you're going to get everybody's attention. I have an illustration that works every single time." He said, "When you walk to the pulpit, I want you to make this statement. Some of the greatest days of my life was spent in the arms of another woman. And then I want you to pause for just a minute, and then I want you to say, the arms of my mother." He said, "Oh, that's fantastic." He said, "That will shock everybody. That's exact. Preacher, thank you." And so he's writing it down. The preacher said, "Wait a minute. You need to remember two things. Number one, don't forget to tell your wife what you're going to say that morning. And number two, remember the pause. Pause for a moment and then say, the arms of my mother." He said, "Great, I got it down." Boy, he was so excited. He's driving to church. He's got his mind on his shocking introduction. You know, he's thinking about all this. And when he enters into the building and he sees all the people, he starts to get real nervous. And his palms are getting sweaty, and his heart is beating, and they announce for him to come to the pulpit, and he enters up into the pulpit, and he had two major problems going on. Number one, his nerves were getting the best of him. And number two, he forgot to tell his wife. And so he got up there, and he cleared his throat, and he said, "Some of the greatest days of my life was spent in the arms of another man's wife." And the church just gasped, and they went back, and he kind of freaked out for a minute, and he didn't come up with a punchline. So his wife got mad, and she screams out, and she storms out of the church, and everybody begins to talk. And in nervousness, he says, "And for the life of me, I can't even remember her name." Oh, my goodness, huh? It is important for you to stay focused. If you don't stay focused, you're going to get yourself in a whole lot of trouble very, very quickly. What you're going to find in the book of Joshua, chapter number 14, is that it pays to stay focused. Caleb is a man who focused on the promised land. I've said it often to you, and I'll say this of Caleb. He never gave up. He didn't give out. He didn't give in. He was moving forward for the glory of God. He is a wonderful example of an individual who could see what others could not see. He stayed so focused those 85 years on the promised land that he became one of God's wonderful visionaries. Others in the land, they saw giants. But Caleb saw the mighty hand of God. There were others in the land that saw obstacles, but Caleb saw an opportunity to magnify the wonderful glory of God. Others would have seen a dreadful foe, but what Caleb saw was a defeated foe by the hand of God. Others there were looking at the problems, the walled city, and all the armies they had to come up against, while others were focusing on the problems. Caleb is focusing on the promises of God. While others believed it couldn't be done, Caleb believed that it could be done, that he could trust in God, that God would be his helper, that God would be his guide, that God was going to help him, regardless of the obstacles that this old man faced. He stayed focused on the promised land, and he claimed the blessings of God and his inheritance. The application, men and women, is very easy for us to see here this morning. As you stay focused on the finish line, as you stay focused on the goal, the things that God has in store for you today, if you will stay focused on heaven, and you'll stay focused on the word of God and the will of God for your life, your days will be better and brighter and blessed if you believe it. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise in the house of God. Hallelujah to his name. Well, let me give you a little historical background concerning this character here by the name of Caleb. When Caleb was 40 years old, he was one of the guys that Moses chose out of the 12 spies. He was one of them. And Moses told him and the other spies to go into Canaan and to spy out the land. You remember that early on. When they spied out the land, they realized that there were giants in the land. And so the Bible says when the reports came back to Moses, only Caleb and Joshua were the only ones who expressed confidence in the Lord. Out of all of those men, there was only two that said, "We can do it. We can overtake the land. God is with us." They believed in the ability that God was going to deliver the land unto them. Numbers chapter 13, verses 25 and following. Only two out of the 12. And because of their faithfulness, when everybody else doubted, because of their faithfulness, God promised Caleb and Joshua that they would live to claim their inheritance. You boys are going to live to see the promises of God. You're going to live to conquer your Canaan and to possess your possession. Because of your faith, because of your belief, the blessings of God are coming your way. Can I remind you today, because of your faith, because of your confidence in God, because of your belief in the mighty hand of God, men and women, blessings are coming your way. You can conquer your Canaan. You can possess your possessions. If you put your faith and your trust in him, somebody say amen. Well, Joshua and Caleb are the only ones. And because of their faithfulness, they're going to claim their inheritance. Numbers chapter 14, verse number 24 tells us this. Listen, the Bible says, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit within him, he followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it." Notice what the Bible says. He had another spirit within him. His spirit is lining up with the will of God. His spirit is lining up with the power of God. Caleb is fully trusting in the Lord. It doesn't matter how big the enemy is. It doesn't matter how fortified the city may be. God told him to move forward and to claim it. And he had a spirit within him different from all the others. It was a spirit that trusted in God. You know what we need today in 2020? We need a group of men and women to get on their hands and knees and begin calling upon God and say, "God, give me another spirit." Not a spirit of the world. Not a spirit of fear. Not a spirit of anxiety. Not a spirit of worry, but God, give me a spirit of confidence where I can put my faith and my trust in you and grab a hold of the blessings of God on our church, on our family, on our home. Lord, we want this mountain that you have promised us. And this is where Caleb is at. And so the Bible says something very unique about him. Look at verse 24 again of Numbers 14. "But my servant Caleb." Now, what's interesting about that is God calls Caleb my servant. And when you study the Old Testament, you'll find that that description is only given to men like Abraham, Moses, and King David. That designation that God gives, God only delegates it out to some of the most prominent men of faith in the Bible. Abraham, the father of the Jewish race, Moses, the great prophet of God, David, the sweet psalmist and king of Israel. God calls them my servant. And here is a man who was raised as a slave, who came out of bondage out of Egypt, and crossed on over into the promised land, believing that God would deliver him. After all of these years, at 85 years old, he is still ready to claim the blessings of God, and God calls him my servant. That's my man. Why would God call Caleb my servant? Because the Bible says repeatedly of him that he wholly followed the Lord God. He's called my servant. The Bible portrays Caleb as an example of great faithfulness. You'll find that at multiple points, both God and the biblical writers commend Caleb as one who wholly followed the Lord. Other than Caleb and Joshua, you'll find that the only other biblical character to receive such a commendation as wholly following or fully following the Lord was King David. The Bible says in the book of Kings that David fully followed the Lord. We're talking about a great individual here. Although there's not a book of the Bible that bears his name, he leaves a legacy of faith like no other found in the Old Testament scripture. He is a man of faith. He is a man that wholly followed the Lord. God himself said, this is my servant. This is my man. This is what it looks like to be obedient. This is what it looks like to claim the promises of God. This is what it looks like, even in your old age, not to retire on God. Do you read anywhere in the Bible that the Bible says that we can retire on God? It doesn't matter if you're 8 or 80 years old or 800 years old. You are to be doing the will of God until the day that you die. Somebody say amen. It's so easy for us to get older and say, well, the younger generation, they have to do all of this. No, not for Caleb. He wasn't that type of individual. 40 years had passed. He's 85 years old. He is ready to claim the promises of God. And all of those years that Caleb has been waiting to claim the promises of God, he's lived by one mission statement. Give me this mountain that God has promised me. That mission statement motivated him to move forward. Again, the application is clear. God has a mountain for you. God has a land and a territory for you. And you need to say within your heart today, God, give me this mountain. Lord, it may be a mountain of marriage. It may be a mountain of ministry. It may be a mountain that you have as a member of this church. Lord, there's something that you want to give me. Lord, I want to claim the blessings of God. And I'm not going to let the giants in the land and the enemies around me and fortified spiritual walls hinder me or impede me. Lord, give me this mountain. And with that mission statement, Caleb marched forward in the power of Almighty God. And in one of the biggest battles, the battle of the Anakims, he not only destroyed the city and took Hebron, but he also destroyed the three sons of the Anakim. And God gave Caleb as a promise Mount Hebron for a blessing. I don't know about you, friend, but I'm saying today, Lord, give me this mountain. If that's where you want me to be, no matter how big the enemy may be, Lord, my mission statement today is give me this mountain. Lord, I want to follow you. Now, what you need to know this morning is the mountain that Caleb was referring to is Mount Hebron. If you go over into Israel, Mount Hebron is one of the sacred cities of the land of Israel. You have Jerusalem, you have Hebron, one of the sacred cities. Now, many will believe that Abraham and Sarah and Adam and Eve are both buried in a synagogue over there in Hebron. As you go over into Hebron, you'll find that there is a memorial there, and they believe deep within a cave. The tradition says that when Abraham came into Hebron, he was looking for some land to buy for his own. He wanted to bury his wife somewhere. The king said, I'll just give you the land because you're a prominent person, you're a popular guy, you're very well liked, I'm just going to give you Hebron. He said, no, I want to purchase Hebron. I want it to be mine. And so Abraham actually purchases Hebron and buries his wife there. They say while he was looking for the burial spot that he came across a cave, and inside the cave, tradition says, he found the bones of Adam and Eve. And as you go over there into Israel today, many of the Israelites will tell you that we have a memorial here, and down deep within a cave is the bones of Abraham, his wife, and Adam and Eve. Hebron is a very sacred city. It is a city where there are thousands of Jews that come and they pray. Many of the original stones from when Herod had built some structures there are still standing there today. It's still intact and it's still there. It's a very sacred spot where they go and pray. But the beauty behind Hebron is this: it's a beautiful place of all sorts of fruits. You'll find pomegranates there, you'll find oil there, you'll find figs there, all sorts of wonderful, wonderful fruits. And so for Caleb, going into Hebron, it had a mountain area, but it had the perfect soil, because the soil there would just soak in the rain, and so it became a land flowing with milk and honey. It was a place of corn and oil and grapes and pomegranates and figs and all kinds of other fruits for him to enjoy. This is going to be a special place. After wandering in the wilderness all of those years, he is saying, give me this mountain. But there's one problem in Hebron. Yeah, there might be a lot of sweet, delicious fruit that is there, but Hebron is a strong, defensed city. There, living within Hebron, is Anak and the Anakims. They are giants within the land. And there are the three sons of Anakim. And Caleb, at 85 years old, has to go up against one of the major big battles in order to claim the land that God promised him all that 40 years ago. He's saying, give me this mountain. And at 85 years old, he grabs his sword, he puts his sword in his hand, he puts his life in the hands of God, and he moves forward, listen, wholly following the Lord. I want you to see three simple applications about Caleb's life this morning, and I believe this will be a blessing to you. Because I believe that today we need more men and women that have the character of Caleb. You say, what type of character did he have? How, why was he so successful? How was he so successful? Well, very briefly, let me give you three wonderful points to give you the secret to his success. If you're following along, here's point number one. His success was characterized by surrender. It's characterized by his surrender. I want you to notice what the Bible says of him three times in this one chapter. Look with me in verse number 8. In verse number 8, this is Caleb that is speaking. This is Caleb's testimony. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Notice what it says. Say it with me. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. Let's read that together. Verse number 8. I wholly followed the Lord my God. This is Caleb's testimony. He is saying that I surrendered my life to God. While everybody else was doubting, while everyone else is living in disbelief, Caleb said, I wholly followed the Lord. I didn't have my eyes on man. I didn't have my eyes on the cares of this world. My eyes are not on the enemy. My eyes are on God. And the reason why many of you are so spiritually deflated and defeated, you've got your eyes on some man. You've got your eyes on some circumstance. You've got your eyes on this or your eyes on that. Men and women, you need to get your eyes on God today. And like Caleb, surrender unto him and say, I will wholly follow the Lord my God. This is the testimony of the man of God, Caleb. But it's not only his testimony. Caleb speaking in verse 8. Look who's speaking in verse 9. It is Moses, the great prophet of God. that is speaking in verse 9. And Moses swore on that day, saying, now mind you, Moses is dead. He's reminding the people of what Moses said. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet had trodden shall be thy inheritance and thy children's forever, because Caleb, thou hast, say it with me, wholly followed the Lord my God. What a great testimony. Not only can Caleb say with confidence, I have surrendered to God and wholly followed the Lord, but that's what others are saying about Caleb. What does others say about you? Do others say you're a troublemaker? Do others say you're a spiritual crybaby? Do others say that you spiritually limp along with a spiritual limp, not walking with God and not doing what God, do they say you're the one who's the gossip in the church? You're the one that sows discord in the church? What do other people say about you based upon the life that you are living? What type of light are you shining? What type of salt are you shaking out? How are you living your life? When Moses seen Caleb, it was very apparent, very early on, this is a man who wholly followed the Lord God. And Moses sweared on that day, he said, I promise you under God up above in heaven that when we get into the land of promise, you will receive your inheritance. If you want Mount Hebron, then Mount Hebron will be yours. Why? Because it's the blessing of God and you wholly followed the Lord God. Wow. What a great testimony. What is other people saying about you? When people read your Facebook, what do they think about you? Oh, there goes the preacher going to meddling right now, right? What do they read? What do they perceive about you with your social media, how you live your life, what you post? Does it honor God? What you post, does it uplift the Lord? Does it reflect Christian character? Is it something that is delightful, that will help people to understand that you live for God? That you love God. Everybody around Caleb knew that he wholly followed the Lord God. It's his own testimony, and it's the testimony of others, but the best of all, it is the very testimony of God himself. The Bible says in verse 8, Caleb is speaking. Verse 9, Moses is speaking. But in verse 14, God is speaking. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Man, I don't know about you, but think about this. Wouldn't it be wonderful to know that God's looking down upon us today and saying, you wholly followed me. You are my servant. You are sold out and surrendered. There's no enemy that can come up against you because your confidence stems from knowing me. There's no fortified city that you can't get around because your confidence stems from knowing me. And because you wholly follow the Lord, I'm going to give you the desire of your heart. You're going to leave the wilderness experience to go into the mountains of Hebron and the fertile fields. And Caleb, I'm going to feed you with the fruit. I'm going to give you pomegranates. There is figs there for you to enjoy. It's a land of milk and honey. Pick up your sword and move forward in the power of Almighty God and conquer your Canaan and possess your possession. Caleb said, give me this mountain that God has promised me. It's a life totally surrendered unto the Lord. God is speaking in verse 14, you wholly follow the Lord your God. I want you to notice something about God very quickly. The passing of time did not change the promises of God. Now, if your neighbor's sleeping, you need to pinch them because they need to hear this. The passing of time did not change the promises of God. 40 years has passed. It was 40 years earlier God said, I'm going to give you Hebron. For the next 40 years of this 40-year-old man's life when he hears this promise, believing that God's going to give him this inheritance, he waits. And at 85 years old, guess what? Time does not change the promises of God. If God said, I'm coming back, If the Bible says that Jesus Christ one day will mount upon a milk-white stallion and ride from the heavens, and we will receive that wonderful millennial kingdom here on earth, honey, I want you to know it doesn't matter if eons go by. Time does not change the promises of God. God is coming. Somebody say amen. It's not going to change his promises about keeping your salvation. It's not going to change his promises about sanctifying you. And it certainly will not change his promise about glorifying you, changing you in a moment and a twinkling of an eye. Time doesn't change the promises of God. Circumstances do not change the promises of God. Hey, people cannot change the promises of God. His word still stands today. Somebody say amen. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Caleb realizes that time has not changed anything. How do we know that? Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 34 and verse 36 says of all the doubters, "And the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth and sware, saying, Surely thou shalt not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your father, save Caleb." Nobody else is going to see that good land, save Caleb. He shall see it. And to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath, say it with me, wholly followed the Lord. Caleb, son, I'm going to keep you alive all these years, and you're going to see the very promises of God. Do you know why Caleb wholly followed the Lord? Because he believed that God deserved to be followed. Do you believe that God deserves to be followed today? Huh? You know, God's not into half-hearted Christianity. God doesn't want one foot in and one foot out. He wants both feet on the other side following him. Some would say amen. Caleb believed that God deserves it. He's the sovereign creator of the world. He's the one that has the mighty hand and mighty power. He's the one that opens up a door. He's the one that clears a path. He's the one that defeats our enemies. It's not by my might, nor by my power or my skill, but it's by the power of Almighty God. Somebody say amen. And he believed that God deserved our very best. In 2020, are you willing to give God your very best? Are you going to put both feet in? Are you going to straddle the fence? Are you going to model to your sons and your daughters and your grandchildren that it's okay to be a carnal Christian, half-hearted, not sold out to God? Or are you going to model integrity? Are you going to model spiritual tenacity, that you're going to be audacious in your spirit, and no matter what hell throws up against you, no matter what the world says, no matter how compromise may be tempting, you're going to stand with God and wholly follow the Lord God. Somebody say amen. Hopefully in 2020, you will change and make a difference. You'll finally get off the bench and get in the game. You'll say, "Coach, pick me. Here am I." Isaiah said, "Send me." Caleb believed that God deserved to be followed. Not only deserved to be followed, but he believed that God desires us to follow him. God's desire is for us to follow him. Not only does God deserve it, not only is it God's desire, but I got even better news for you. Listen, God demands that you and I follow him. If you're a believer of Jesus Christ, you don't have the option. "Well, I'll drink a little booze on Saturday, and then I'm going to come to church, and I'm going to sing, I'll fly away. I'm gonna drink a little booze and talk about how amazing it is, and then I'll come to church and talk about how amazing God's grace is. I'm gonna live my life on a secular plane. I'm gonna enjoy a little pornography. I'm gonna have HBO and Showtime pumping in pornography into my home, into the heart and minds of my children. I'm gonna live a sort of a compromising life because I wanna fit in. I wanna socialize with everybody. I don't wanna be looked as an outcast. I wanna be popular." Hey, you may not be somebody in the world's eyes, but you are somebody in God's eyes. And God says, "Caleb wholly followed the Lord God." Somebody say amen. My niece was participating, raising some money in that county Dancing with the Stars thing. And so she was out there last night, and she invited Melissa and her grandma and grandpa and a couple of the other kids went out there, and Melissa come home last night, and she said, "David, you would not believe." It was a great dinner, you know, and people were having a lot of fun. She said, "But you wouldn't believe the Christians that I seen there drinking last night. You wouldn't believe the people that I know that goes to churches that we're friends with on Facebook that they were sitting there drinking last night. You know what? You can have your little social affair, but I'm telling you, there's coming a day on the day of judgment that you're going to stand before the eyes of Almighty God, and you talk about being ashamed. You're going to want the rocks and the mountains to hide your face from the face of God, and shame and guilt is going to flood your soul as the only thing that you have to offer God is the burnt ashes of a broken life for doing nothing for the glory of God. You can live your social life, and you're going to send millions of people to hell. You're going to live your social life and be a stumbling block to others. You can live your social life drinking and carousing and compromising. And I'm telling you, there is a world out there that is watching your life. You say with your lips that you love Jesus, but you deny it with your life. Shame on you. Somebody say amen. Caleb wholly followed the Lord God. Do you know this? Do you know what the word Caleb means? In the Hebrew text, it is the exact same spelling in Hebrew as the word dog. Caleb was God's heavenly hound. You know, a good dog will take commands, will it not? A good dog will be alert. A good dog will listen to its master. A good dog will be loyal. And this is Caleb. He is God's dog. He's the heavenly hound. Now, if you are a Caleb here this morning, everybody say, hey, what's up, dog? What's up, dog? You know, you're God's heavenly hound this morning. This is Caleb. He's God's heavenly hound on earth. He is ready to hunt down the enemy. He is ready to lead the people into the promised land. He is ready to claim the very blessings of Almighty God. You know, I put on Twitter yesterday, the Christian who kneels daily before God in prayer can stand up against any challenge they face. And that is Caleb. You know, D.L. Moody was saved around the age of 19 years old. He heard evangelist Henry Varley say these words, "The world has yet to see what God can do in and through and with and for a man wholly committed to him." Moody said that night, "By God's grace, I will be that man." And Moody was a very uneducated, uncultured individual. God used him to move two nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ. All because Moody said, "I'm going to wholly follow the Lord." Not only was he characterized by surrender, but second of all, he's characterized by a spared life. Look at verse 10. This is the testimony of Caleb. He said, "The Lord hath kept me alive." In keeping him alive, God is sparing him from all sorts of things. Caleb knew that I'm alive at this moment because of the promises and the blessings of God. God told me many, many years ago, you're going to live to see your inheritance. And you know what? I believe that Caleb clung to the word of God, and that was the thing that moved him forward. That was the thing that helped him to say, "Give me this mountain." He knew that Hebron was his. There was no doubt in his mind. There was no changing his mind. He knew what God said way back then, it's going to come true because God providentially kept him alive all those years. Now you think about what Caleb went through. He went through a wilderness experience. They had to battle Jericho. They had to cross over Jordan. They had to fight battle after battle after battle for 7 years. They are engaged in battle in Canaan. For 7 years, blood is being spilt out. There's a battle after battle after battle, and yet God providentially has kept him alive. It was that promise of God that motivated him to have a missional statement, "Give me this mountain." You know what? Caleb knew where God guides, God provides. Somebody say amen. And do you know that today? Where God guides you, God will provide for you. You know, during the days of the Reformation, the Pope was trying to buy Martin Luther back. And so he sent the cardinal down there and said, "Give him some money. You know, money talks." And so he offered him some money and said, "Come back to the church. Let's reconcile things and we'll go about our business and we'll do well." Well, Luther turned the money down and the cardinal wrote the Pope and said, "The fool does not love gold." The cardinal was so frustrated with Luther that he went up to them and said, "What? Do you think the Pope cares for the opinion of a German fool? The Pope's little finger is stronger than all Germany. Do you expect your princes to take up arms and defend you? You, a wretched worm like you? I tell you no. And where will you be then? And Luther looked at him and said, where I am now, in the hands of Almighty God. Luther, like Caleb, said, I will wholly follow after the Lord. You know what? Coming from the wilderness in the promised land was a big deal for Caleb. It meant everything. It meant leaving a life of bondage to gain a life of liberty. It meant no more wandering to finding rest. It meant going from a routine to variety. Do you know what they ate every single day for 40 years in the wilderness? Manna. Hey, Mom, what's for breakfast this morning? Manna. Hey, Mom, what's for lunch today? Manna. Honey, I'm home. It's been a hard day at work today. We had a big battle. What are we having for dinner? Manna. For 40 years, they are eating manna in the wilderness. Now, I love pizza, but eating pizza, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 40 years, that might be, well, you know what? That might not be a bad idea. Could be a pretty good idea, you know? Maybe that's what they needed. They needed a chimichanga in the wilderness is what they needed. They wouldn't have complained because you know what happened? After those 40 years, they started to complain. Numbers chapter 21, verse 5 tells us, our souls loathe this light bread. They were sick of it. I guess so. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Manna, 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 manna. You look on the menu, what can we have today? Well, here in the dessert section, there's manna. Over here in the main course section, there is manna. And guess what? The appetizer, it is manna. That's all they had. And they said, we loathe this light bread. We are sick of it. And Hebron offered so much more for Caleb. Because over there is fruits, pomegranates. There's corn. There's oil. There's grapes. There's mountains. There's fertile fields. It meant everything for Caleb to leave this life of a routine, mundane life, to enter into variety. Listen, friend, that's what the Christian life is all about. God wants to move you from that mundane, ordinary, rotten life that you have, living in sin that does nothing but bog you down and burden you, and God wants to move you into a spiritual Hebron. In spiritual Hebron, there is wonderful delicacies there for you to enjoy. Somebody say amen. In the Christian life, when you are living the victorious Christian life, there are mountain peaks and there are valleys to enjoy. That's what God wants for you in 2020. His life is characterized by a saved life. It is the Lord that has saved me. So give me this mountain that God's promised me. Last of all, it's not only characterized by a life of surrender and a spared, saved life, but also his success was characterized by strength. Look at verse 11. I love this verse. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. You know what? Caleb never wavered from trusting in God. Numbers chapter 14, verse 8 and verse 9, it said, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. This is Caleb speaking, and he's telling his friends, only rebel not against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. The Anakim that are there, they are bread for us. Anakim is the breakfast of champions, is what Caleb is saying. We can devour them. We can chop them up. We have the majority. God is standing on our side. You need to look at your enemies today and say, they are bread for us. It doesn't matter how they have fortified cities that are impeding you from getting to the promised land. It doesn't matter how big the giant may be. They are bread for us. By the power of God, we can chop them up. We can chow them down. Somebody say amen. We can defeat them. They are bread for us. We can win with the glory of God. Somebody say amen. He said, man, they're bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. You know what's sad is that many of the other tribes during that 7 years, they started to live in disbelief and doubt. They were willing just to say, hey, I'm tired of this. There's been a lot of fighting, a lot of war. We've traveled a lot of miles. We would just rather settle down here and just be nomads. It'd be better off for us just to wander and continue to do that instead of trying to fight all these battles, because as of yet, there's no land. Nobody has any property as of yet. They're conquering, they're gaining territory, but there's been no separation of land as of yet. And some people are saying, I'm tired of it. We're never going to get there. We're never going to get our land. We're never going to be able to settle down and raise our children and see the and enjoy our grandchildren. We're never going to be able to build houses. We're never going to be able to get there and settle down and relax. It's just fight after fight after fight, and we're tired. And we're just going to give up. And their negative attitude started bringing everybody else down. How many knows a negative attitude can bring everybody else down? You listen to me and you listen to me well. You want to help divide the church? You want to help split a church? You want to bring the church's spiritual morality down? Then you just begin nagging all the time, picking at this, picking at that, causing trouble, complaining and complaining and complaining, and you'll find that the spiritual morale will go down. But for those that have an optimistic view, for those who are like Caleb that says, give me this mountain, it doesn't matter how big the problem is, everybody else was saying, hey, that problem is too big for us. But Caleb was saying, no, it's too small for God. God's on our side, and God's going to give us the victory when we start bragging on Jesus and we start claiming what God wants us to have. Hey, and we grab a hold of the hand of God. There is no telling what God can do in and through a church completely and solely surrendered out to him. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah to his name. This is Caleb. Why everybody else is doubting, Caleb grabs a stone and he's sharpening his sword. And he says, as strong as I was then, as a golden ager, senior citizen, as strong as I was then, I'm going to be the same way now. Lord, give me that mountain. And he sharpens his sword, and with a tenacious spirit, and the spiritual audacity, he goes towards Hebron and he defeats the Anakim. And Caleb settles down as an inheritance in the land of Hebron. And today it is a beautiful, beautiful spot in Israel. And what a legacy that they have. You say, Brother David, what are you trying to say? Here's what I'm trying to say. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Curtis, you can come to the piano. Romans 8, verse 31. Listen now. The Bible says, what shall we then say to these things? What shall we say to all these things that are happening to us? What shall I say to things that try to hinder me? He said, if God be for us, read it with me. If God be for us, who can be against us? Anakim, it's bread for us. The big giant in the land, we're going to devour them because God's on our side. Is there a mountain that God has promised you? Is there something in your private prayer life that you have prayed for and you know that this is the will of God for your life, but there's been circumstance and enemy after enemy that's trying to impede you? The devil's trying to discourage you. The devil's putting doubt within your heart. Listen, friend. Had the spiritual resolve of this great man of God. He's characterized by surrender. He's characterized by a spared life. God is the one that's kept me alive. You know why you're here today? It's because God kept you alive all these years. And he wants you to conquer your Canaan today. He wants you to possess your possession. He wants your marriage to be better and brighter. He wants your life here within the church family. As the Greens talked about today, a wonderful church family. God wants it to be the very best it can be. But you've got to sharpen your sword and move forward in the glory of God and say, Lord, give me that mountain. Lord, you promised that to me. That's what you said I could have, and I believe it. You've kept me alive all these years, all these blessings that you have for me. You're the one that spared me. Well, you brought me through the wilderness. You fed me with that manna. Lord, I did get a little tired of it, but it supplied my need. Lord, you brought me through the River Jordan. You helped me stand there, and we conquered Jericho. We went back and defeated Ai. We moved forward, and we kept moving forward. And all these 7 years, you've spared my life for one reason, that I could glorify you because of the promises of God. That's why you're alive today. There's still promises for you to claim. There's still blessings for you to have. Caleb said, as I was then, I'm going to be the same way I am right now at this age and stage of my life. Give me this mountain. God, give me those promises. Lord, I claim it in your name. Lord, help me to defeat the enemy. Help me to walk out in boldness. Don't let me doubt. Don't let me live in disbelief. Fill my heart with the delight of God. Help me to go forward that I can show others the glory of God, how you can work in and through one person wholly surrendered to you today. Will you surrender to God, Father, in Jesus' name? Lord, I pray that you would rise up a generation.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.